Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town?
It's not Monday, but it feels like one. It's the day after the 4th of July.
There's certainly more traffic.
Yes.
Than in advance of the holiday.
Someone called it a second Monday in a week, which is rather fitting.
Yeah, that's a good description because it does kind of feel like a Monday right now, despite it being a short week.
If you were Chuck Knobloch and you were drinking, you probably feel like it's a Monday. But we'll get to that. But Barry is out, and he will not be excluded from this show because he has made himself a topic that we will get to rather quickly. But Barry Laminack is off, enjoying some time away. He will be back tomorrow. So we have other usual suspects. We have the usual in Nick Sciarra on the other side of the glass. We have producer Tyler Scott behind the glass helping us out. And yours truly, Joel Blank, as we get you the show after 4th of July. So, fellas, just first checking in and saying, what up and how was the 4th?
My 4th was awesome. Did you get your grub on?
I did. We actually barbecued.
A whole bunch of stuff?
Cued some, my buddy, we had friends over. My buddy did pork chops. I did chicken breastises and corn on the cob. And that was more than enough.
I'm an a-hole. I was asking for suggestions on the Monday program for, like, fajita recipes. Didn't do any fajitas.
I asked you that right off the bat because, again, you also made the promise that you would bring some in, which you neglected
to do.
Yes, you did. Tyler, did he not?
We might have to go to tape, but I think he...
I think that's correct, yeah.
Dang it. Yeah. I don't know why I try to act all nice. I never make those type of offers, like, ever. Like, since you've... Have I offered you food, like, once since...
Maybe.
Well, anyway, look, I didn't go with
the
fajitas.
Even if you offer, you don't live up to it, so it's fine.
I didn't go with the fajitas, but I went with like a bunch of other stuff. Like I got sliders, I got ribeyes. Oh, no, ribeyes. I went with New York strips because I told myself I wouldn't do ribeyes. Barbecue chicken. About 3 or 4 different types of meat. And, you know, we had some corn on the cob, too, and some of the usuals, some of the traditional stuff that you would have.
Can I tell you something, too, before Tyler, because we get to your 4th? But so I went to Randall's to get everything. Which is a huge mistake the day of, because day of midday, they're pretty much out of everything. But I was putting it all together. They had the worst corn selection on the planet. Like they were the cobs were like the size of my pinky finger. So I see the guy in produce, the manager, and I go, "Hey man, you got more corn in the back?" And he looks at me as if like it's 3 o'clock
like,
on
really
4th of July. He goes, "Yeah, we do." I go, "Oh great." He goes, "Yeah, it's the same as what you got there." So. And he walked away. I was like, "Oh, customer service! I'm going to go check and see if we can get you some better." You deal with what you got there, buddy.
I went to HEB to get my because I did it midday too, like late, like I want to say like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I literally got the last like trip set of New York strips. Basically, there was none left because that was what was on sale pretty much the entire day. So everybody went for the New York strips. But I was cool with it. I got the last 3 pieces. I mean. I knew what I was getting into going into. I figured HEB being who they are, they tend to overstock.
Right.
But look, it's 4th of July. I expected some, I expected not to be.
Hey, as long as you got your hand on some good meat before the end of the day, everything was good in the world. Those were enough fireworks for you.
What about you, producer Tyler?
I did probably the most American thing ever. I just sat my fat ass on the couch and did nothing. Watched some baseball.
Okay.
And then I went and got fast food.
Did you watch fireworks?
I was flipping through the channels. I saw a little bit
of it. Yeah, I watched them on TV.
Fireworks don't really do it for me anymore.
Well, my dog was, I'm sure your, maybe a couple of your dogs were freaking out. My dog was like really freaking out because for some reason it was loud, even with the TV on. So I just watched it inside as well. I didn't really go anywhere.
We were worried about it, but the dogs, like, were in the room with Lisa sleeping because she has to go to bed early. So they were all pretty much fine. I had two of them and they were fine. But they moved it in Sugar Land to the Smart Financial Center. Right. And we live over by there. So I thought we would have a perfect view. We had two trees strategically placed right so that I couldn't see anything. So I was like, eh, no big deal. I don't really care. So I watched the Astros.
I figured when I heard that it was that Smart Financial, I was like, I don't know, because you know about their parking situation and how terrible it is.
Yes.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, where would they have?
I would have walked, or I'd have parked at Costco
that
across
makes sense.
The street, and then you could probably see it and get right back to the house without ever having to cross in 59.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
I probably would have done that.
So, I mean, to me, it's like, like I said, I grew up where fireworks were every weekend. So it's not that big of a deal, but I know for some people it's like the end-all, be-all, and they got to have it, but I'm like, I'll pass.
We know what Barry did for the 4th of July.
Yes, we do know, but you might want to tell the listener.
He didn't do much drinking, though.
No, of course
not. It was only food.
Are you kidding me?
So the last update I got on his Twitter feed was he finished one inning early, so he completed the 9th hot dog in the 8th inning.
So for those of you that don't know, Barry had been talking all week about how he and his wife were going to do the 9-9-9 challenge, which is 9 hot dogs and 9 beers in 9 innings watching baseball.
Right.
They were going to do it from the comfort of their own home. He made the mistake, and maybe he didn't for our viewing pleasure, of posting videos to Twitter every so often of his progress.
Yeah. He was so salty.
But also salty, yes, but also slurry. Because as he started to get to the 7th beer, he said he wasn't buzzed, but he sounded like he was.
I think that was an act.
You do?
Yeah, because he kind of knew.
Come on.
Yeah, he knew. He knew that he was going to get some heat.
Soaking it up.
Come on.
He knew he was going to get heat on Twitter, so that's why he was saying that. He's like, for all you guys. Like, he was basically prefacing. Like, he knew the hate was coming. So, yeah, I think he knew he was. I don't think he drinks that much.
So, last one I saw, he was in the 7th inning. He had... was it all the hot dogs consumed and 7 of the beers?
I think he ate all the hot dogs by the 5th
third
or
inning or 5th.
Inning.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. And then he drank all the beer right as the 8th inning was finishing.
Oh, so. I saw 7th inning, he still had 2 to go. 2 beers to go.
Okay. So so the hot dogs he finished early was the beer that he finished right before.
Correct.
Oh, okay. I had it backwards.
And to be perfectly honest, to his credit, and you guys might have to explain this one to me because I must have missed it. Because he was probably in a different state of mind, decided that this morning he would apologize if he had said anything on Twitter that people might have felt offended by for the simple fact that he was doing the 999 challenge, except for one guy. I think his name is Steve. What did I miss with Steve, Tyler?
I don't know.
He said, except for Steve, who can basically F off. And I don't know what happened with Steve, but Barry was salty about that.
Well, we won't know if he needs to apologize for what he said unless we play the audio from the video he published, right? We got to play each only the late inning ones when he's like slurring.
He's like, it was like,
did you see those hot dogs?
Yeah,
no.
They looked so pathetic.
Yeah,
like the worst. Like he got generic store brand hot dogs.
Yep.
It looked like,
oh.
Not even good ones.
No, they were pretty.
They looked so trashy.
I don't know what he was putting on them, but there was a lot of color and different things.
He made blue mayonnaise because he wanted to do an American flag.
Patriotic, yeah.
So he mixed up blue food coloring and mayonnaise.
Oh my gosh!
And then put regular mayo.
Who puts mayonnaise
and
on a hot dog?
I don't eat mayonnaise.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's good.
Really?
Mayonnaise is just
mayonnaise
not my thing.
Mayonnaise and relish and a little bit of cheese?
I get that because there's a lot of people do mayonnaise and relish is two big things that you would put on a hot dog. I know that, but I just don't. And mustard, obviously. But
I'm just onions,
I'm more of a mustard
ketchup.
Guy.
Onions, ketchup, maybe barbecue sauce.
Yeah. I mean, everybody likes the
barbecue sauce is a little different.
Well, in Milwaukee, they call it stadium sauce, but they have their own special recipe at Brewer games. And it's like a really kind of zesty, spicy barbecue sauce that's awesome that you can put on brats and hot dogs and whatever. And so that's where, growing up on that, that's where the barbecue sauce thing came from.
I've never tried it with barbecue sauce. I would try it. This sounds good. I've never tried it with barbecue sauce at all. I'm not a big relish guy or mayonnaise, but mustard for sure. I'll try the barbecue sauce.
See, I'm not a mustard guy.
Ketchup.
East Coast is a mustard thing to me. I'm just not a big pretzels, no way. I'll put the same thing on in people again because you guys have killed me before, but I'll put ketchup on a hot pretzel. I'll put barbecue sauce on a hot pretzel, but I will not use my I'm not a fan of mustard.
Well, we kept ketchup on a pretzel is a little different. It's not incredibly weird. I mean, I could see somebody putting ketchup on a pretzel.
I do mustard and like cheese on a pretzel.
Yeah, cheese is good too, for sure. I mean, look, where I come from, cheese is good on everything. But you guys hammer me on the ketchup thing, but that's fine.
Well, we kept accusing you of putting ketchup on macaroni and cheese, and I don't think you do that.
That's going too far. Yeah, I wouldn't do macaroni and cheese, but I would do
that's
a grilled
like little
cheese.
Kid style.
Yeah, Barry and I were just lying to everybody, telling him that he puts ketchup on his macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Don't let the innocent take the blame for something for the sake of a good story, because that's what happened there. So here's the other thing, because at least Barry, what I was getting to, was able to say when he was back to being his sober self, hey, if I offended anybody, I apologize. Chuck Knobloch, maybe not so much. Couldn't get his facts straight last night. The three-time World Series champ, one-time All-Star, Houston resident, and maybe a not very smooth tweeter. Is that safe to say?
He certainly didn't proofread any of his tweets, that's for sure.
I think Barry was doing the 999 challenge.
Yeah.
I think Knobloch was doing the 2409 challenge.
And the 2409 would be?
24 beers, 0 hot dogs in 9 innings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, to just wrap up the Laminack story, though, I figured the 999 that he would finish with would be like he gave birth to like a 999, like a 9-inch big Duke, because he was talking about feeling pregnant last night.
Yeah.
If Augie Bush and Oscar Mayer had an illegitimate kid, Barry was going to pass it at about 10 o'clock last night?
He probably doesn't feel as bad as Joey Chestnut, but considering what you guys told me about him being like trashy, I didn't see how, like,
well, by the way, Joey Chestnut, I mean, that's a man. That's putting on a performance right there. 72 hot dogs, I don't care how long. In one sitting,
time.
72.
It's insane.
That buries the 999. All right, so we're going to get to that. We're going to get to Joey Chestnut. We're going to get to the Chuck Knobloch rant on Twitter, which was just completely bizarre. But for right now, I want to tell you guys about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a great program here in the Houston area, and it's sponsored by Houstonians, and it benefits kids trying to get a second chance at an education in Houston. You guys are the ones that make it all work. If you're looking around your yard, your garage, your field in the back, your backyard, and you got a clunker that's collecting rust and dust, and you just have been meaning to get rid of it, and you haven't gotten around to it, now you can do it, and it can make a difference. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. You get in touch with them. Tell them where you live. Tell them what you got. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. Take it away. Do all the paperwork. Get you a nice little tax deduction. And oh, by the way, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And that's where the program really begins, because they take your clunker and they turn it into donations. As a donation, they turn it into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It could be book money, meals, bus fare, eyeglasses, things they need so that they don't have distractions when they're trying to get a degree. It's that simple. Your donation makes it happen. So if you can, please help and contribute. The vehicle doesn't even have to be running. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That's what I'm talking about, a little Two Live crew. To get the party started and started quickly.
I like it.
I like it, too. Nice job, Tyler. I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but I happened to have Twitter open while I was watching the Stros game. And when you see the name Chuck Knobloch, you kind of go, hey, I mean, guy's a, what, 3 or 4-time World Series champion. Won a couple gold gloves before he forgot how to throw. Born and raised in Houston. I think he went to Bel Air High School.
Bel Air, went to A&M.
Yeah. So his dad was the legendary coach at Bel Air. So out of the blue, and of course, because you know I'm a fan of the Blummer, and because I love what Jeff Blum does to kind of spice up Astros games, I'm sitting there and I'm watching Twitter, and the first tweet that I see from Chuck Knobloch is sent to Root Sports, and essentially it says, and it's talking about Jeff Blum. And by the way, and it's confirmed, during the year, Astros broadcasters on television actually have to take time off. That's part of the deal. So when we said that Todd Callis missed some games earlier on the seven-game road trip, it's because they want them to take time off. So Jeff Blum, after the final home game of the homestand against the Yankees, is off until All-Star break. He also getting some time off and said he was going to take some vacation time. He's going to hang with the family. And he was just going to enjoy, you know, some downtime away from baseball before he got back to it. Well, Knobloch evidently didn't get the memo and evidently can't distinguish between Blummer and Mike Stanton. So he sends a tweet to at Root Sports Southwest. Now, I say Root Sports Southwest because he got it right the first time. He says, "You guys are the dumbest MFers ever. Blum, you should be ashamed of yourself. Effing stupid." Doesn't elaborate on what he's talking about.
But he also misspelled ashamed.
Did he?
He did.
Yep. It's like ashamed.
Yeah. Ashamed. You guys should be ashamed of yourself. All right? Effing stupid. To which he gets absolutely annihilated by Astros fans who are calling him out and also pointing out, oh, by the way, it's not Jeff Blum. It happens to be Mike Stanton. So instead of licking your wounds, going on with your day, he decides to take another shot at it, this time aiming at Stanton. The only problem is he sent it to Root Sports Northwest, and he sent it to the wrong Stanton on Twitter.
I didn't see you tag the wrong Root Sports.
Yeah. And by the way, the right Mike Stanton, who's doing the game, he just happens to have won 3 World Series titles with Chuck Knobloch as a member of the Yankees in 4 years and a former teammate. He called Stanton a fairy, amongst other things, and basically went off on him as well. And it left me scratching my head like, what the hell did he say? Go ahead.
Well, on Reddit, somebody linked a cron.com article. And basically just laid out. So you saw that?
Yeah. So essentially in the Cron, what it says is, you know how they do the Stro poll every night and they ask a relevant question. Right. They said, who could you compare young Carlos Correa in his career and who does he closely mirror? Derek Jeter was one of the choices. Cal Ripken Jr., one of the choices. Young A-Rod when he was a member of the Mariners, one of the choices. And immediately that's what came to my mind. I was like, when A-Rod was actually a shortstop, before the steroids and all the other crap, that's what I would compare Correa to, right? So when they get to the answer part of it, which is like the eighth inning, that's what the leading votes were, that he compares favorably to one young Alex Rodriguez. Well, that's all that they could possibly fathom was what the comparison was when they went back and looked at it. So after he took a shot at Blummer and realized it wasn't Blum, then he took a shot at Stanton and got the wrong Stanton, as well as got the wrong Root Sports. The people at the Cron went and tried to find out what was actually said. So when they announced that it was actually Alex Rodriguez, Stanton said, if Correa can come anywhere close to the numbers that A-Rod put up, and yes, there's questions about how A-Rod got there, but the numbers are the numbers, and they are spectacular, Stanton said. Rodriguez admitted to using steroids from 2001 to 2003. Knobloch might be sensitive to the issue because he was linked to performance-enhancing drugs during his 12-year big league career. That included a 2007 Mitchell report, which called Knobloch out for using human growth hormone. After his career was over, Knobloch admitted to using HGH, said it didn't help him on the field. Stanton also was mentioned in the Mitchell report, and as I mentioned, was also a Yankees teammate of Knobloch. But he also went on to talk about the fact that A-Rod was linked to this. Correa's not, but Correa has to, you know, get the numbers. But all good. But Astros fans were not responding favorably.
No.
They actually started having a field day with him because we all know he had troubles throwing to first base later in his career, too. Then he got dinged for some off-the-field issues, drinking and otherwise, where he was arrested. So they got back and forth. He actually was trying to defend himself and take shots at some of the fans, And then at the end of it, just kind of mailed it in. But at least Barry, when Barry was drunk and doing the 999 challenge, came back the next day and said, look, if I offended anybody, I'm sorry, except for you, Steve, who can F off. But at least he was honest. You know, it was one of those nights. Knobloch not only has not said he was sorry, he's left the tweets up. Everybody can go see what an a-hole this guy is.
Just a loose cannon. Kind of. Does he remind you of, from a personality standpoint, does he remind you of like a Jose Canseco? Both of them have been tied to domestic violence issues. And a lot of these guys that have domestic, I'm not saying all, but a lot of these guys that have ties to
PEDs, yeah.
They tend to be loose cannons.
Yeah, that's true.
They
yeah.
tend to be like little way high too strung, outspoken, you know yeah, what I mean?
High strung, short fuse.
Yeah.
So I sent it to Blummer, and I basically, first I retweeted the tweets, and I was just like, wow, just wow. Like, what? Where did that come from? And then I said, so maybe the drinks were cold, maybe they were spiked, maybe your temper got hot. What the hell? Blummer, I said, how in the world can you be on vacation and not even doing the broadcast and still be so insensitive? And he responded to me laughing and basically said, you know, I'm trying, he said, apparently my reach is further and more widespread than I thought. People were jumping all over that.
It sounds like a Blummer tweet. Cause that, you know, you would expect him to take more of a, I'm not saying he won't go at you, but you expect him to take more of a high road approach.
He's a little
approach.
Bit more diplomatic, it seems.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
Well, especially, I mean, he kind of has to be being on TV.
Being the broadcaster and working for the show.
But he does, at least he takes it all with a grain of salt. He can laugh at himself and have some humor. And I said, Blummer, keep doing what you do, bro. Even when you aren't doing what you do, enjoy the well deserved vacation. He said, thanks, I will, and I am. And the Astros fans were all over that, too. So Dustin, his sources, he actually sent 4 hours ago, you okay, bro? Like, are you feeling okay? And now Chuck's not responding anymore. But yet those tweets are still sitting there. It's like, dude, all it takes is one little backtrack on your timeline to realize you were, I hope you can blame it on alcohol, but you're a complete a-hole.
Yeah, maybe he just blacked out and totally forgot that he got on Twitter.
Yeah, that
which is
happened.
A possibility too. But and I think all he has to do is get
time
on Twitter.
On, he sees, oh,
yeah, find how everybody is basically calling him out and putting up like articles about his bad throwing hat, everything, and they're and putting his mug shots.
Somebody posted in the playoffs whenever somebody threw down to first, it hit the runner in the back, and then the ball went past him, but he's standing there like he was in the running lane. He didn't even go after the ball. And scored a run, and I think they lost that game.
Yeah, that it doesn't surprise me, but like, stay in your lane, bro. I'm sorry to quote LeVar Ball because he's annoying as hell, but stay in your lane. I mean, I just, you know, and obviously you picked the wrong time. If this team had 100 losses, you probably wouldn't get the fan base so fired up. But right about now, it's probably 30 games over 500 after last night's win. Probably going to have some fans come to the defense of anybody with this team pretty darn quickly.
Yep,
and that's
yep.
what they were doing. I mean, it was some of these responses were all world. But, yeah, I just – Chuck Knobloch, probably stay in your lane, probably hopefully, you know, disappear into the background for a while and maybe not rear your head for a while.
Yeah, just for a little bit. I'd probably hide under a rock just for a little bit. Hey, coming up, guys, a really special guest, Eric Pincus, is joining us from Basketball Insiders. We'll switch it up. I know we'll talk more baseball, but this guy, I mean, in terms of salary caps – in terms of breaking down free agency and all the moves, man, he's one of my favorites. So at Eric Pincus on Twitter, he'll join us next.
Yeah, we're gonna have some questions to ask him, because if you missed it over the weekend, besides Gallinari going to the Clippers in a three-way deal in which the Nuggets got Paul Millsap, Otto Porter was offered two max contracts. Yes, Otto Porter. Chris Bosh and the Heat parted ways. And, of course, the big signing, Gordon Hayward, heading to Beantown to become a member of the Boston Celtics. So Eric Pincus is next. He'll join us. And we'll talk some NBA if you got questions for us. And if you just want to join in, you can either call us 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, where you can call and text. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in the big city. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects back here on a hump day on ESPN 97.5. I am in the process of trying to get my good friend Kyle Lowry on, as he was one of those NBA guys that has cashed in a rather large way. 3 years and $100 million.
Cha-ching.
That ain't
He's
too
gonna make
bad.
It rain.
And he and I are texting this morning, so I'm trying to get him on, if I can get him off the golf course. But in the meantime, why not bring a capologist in, an expert on the NBA, one Eric Pincus. Eric Pincus, if you are not following him and you're a basketball fan, you're an idiot. At Eric Pincus, at E-R-I-C-P-I-N-C-U-S, NBA capologist at Basketball Insiders, the lead Lakers writer for Bleacher Report, and the resume goes on and on. Eric, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We appreciate it, sir.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
First things first, we'll talk a little H-Town because people are enamored and interested. One, let's go with your take on the big trade with the Clippers for one Chris Paul. I'll guess I'll two-part it. One, was there really a falling out amongst Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and even Doc Rivers? And two, your thoughts on him moving to Houston to be teamed with James Harden?
Well, I think it's kind of like when you're in a bad marriage too long, and it's not like there was any one thing or one moment. I know there were reports about Austin Rivers, but the reality is this group came together to achieve something, and they fell short every year. And it was injuries some years. Sometimes it was just they shot themselves in the foot, specifically against the Rockets, right? So. Right. They've had their issues, and so I do think Chris Paul, he's a little dictator in a way, and that's not a bad thing. It's just he's very demanding, he's very intense, and I could see Blake and DeAndre wanting to go in a different place, and so and for Chris and Doc, I could see the same kind of thing because they're both very commanding guys. Maybe it was time. So clearly, here he is in Houston. I will say that it's going to start slowly. It's not going to fit on day one. It will fit, I believe, well before the playoffs, but I think that you've got two of the most ball dominant players, high usage guards, guys who want the ball and are used to creating with it. Certainly Chris Paul, he's never played off the ball other than in brief stretches. And James Harden, the last year, he was a MVP runner up, just dominating the ball, and he was great. But they're going to have to figure it out together. So I do think they will, because they're both great players. They're both very talented. D'Antoni's a good coach. But I don't think on day one it's going to be natural. I think there's going to be a slower start than people, especially in Houston, think. But I wouldn't worry about it. If they lose a few games, they shouldn't.
I said it's going to be a slow start. It's going to take some time. They're going to have to work it out. But the main thing is not only just who gets the ball, but also in that locker room, James Harden has really had no one since he's been there be that kind of a personality that basically tells him anything. And now you're going to get a guy that's as dominant in the locker room maybe as anybody since Kobe Bryant, and he's going to try and put the beard in his place.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm not so sure how demonstrative James is as a leader. I he was kind of the third banana, I guess, when he was in Oklahoma City, and I think Russell was more the leader there and KD. But James is, he's kind of grown into it. I'm curious to see if there's some bristling, if there's some animosity or getting used to each other. But ultimately, they're there for the same reason. And really, I would argue that Chris Paul is in Houston because James Harden wanted that to happen. And that was an impetus. He fully endorsed it. So they're going to be on the same page as far as wanting to make it work. Question is of course, how can they and how do they figure it out? And like I said, these are two really, really good basketball players, among the best in the world. So I'm not too worried.
Hey, Eric, so there's kind of a consensus out there that there's not enough ball to go around. There's been talks that the Houston Rockets may potentially acquire or go for Carmelo Anthony. Right now, the roster sits with two guys that are kind of been known to dominate the ball, Chris Paul and James Harden. In the event that they do secure someone like Carmelo Anthony, I mean, do you agree with the consensus that there's just, I mean, all three of them are kind of ball stoppers and there won't be enough ball to move around?
It's kind of the anti-D'Antoni The way that he made it work with James Harden was to flat out say, here, you've got the ball. And that's it worked. It worked because they embraced it. But it's a fine line. I mean, James Harden himself can do a little too much at times. Chris Paul is certainly a ball-dominant player. He dribbles and dribbles and controls the action. And then the ball stopping with Anthony, I mean, Mike D'Antoni knows that well enough. They did not get along the way they needed to in New York. So I do think that if he comes, that D'Antoni's made peace, that they've made peace, that they're fine. I mean, D'Antoni's a very likable guy. He's not someone who's going to hold a grudge or anything. He just wants to play the game a certain kind of way. And if you give him a team full of players who can't do that, it becomes awkward. But at the same time, there's a talent level. You can argue Ryan Anderson's a better fit as a floor spacer because they're going to need shooting. He, to me, is the guy that financially makes the most sense for the Rockets to make a deal. Now, whether or not they can get a deal with New York done, I don't know. I don't know if New York wants Ryan Anderson. I don't think he fits what they're doing. So you have to get a third team in play. Or you have to find someone else to move out, be it Eric Gordon, who is so valuable for them. I don't like the idea of losing any real depth. I mean, if you just swapped out Ryan Anderson and Carmelo Anthony and maybe one extra piece you had to send out, a small one, I think you can get by with it. It becomes a taste thing, and I'm not sure it's my taste, but we'll find out if it's the Rockets' taste.
We're speaking with Eric Pincus here on ESPN Radio and ESPN975.com. You can follow Eric Pincus at Eric Pincus on Twitter. Real quick, some of these one-year rentals, you know, like Chris Paul is one of them. Paul George, I guess, is another player. Maybe Jimmy Butler. These guys that are, you know, these teams that are kind of taking a risk by not knowing that this particular player will re-sign. Who do you think is taking the biggest risk in terms of a 1 or 2 year rental? Is it the Rockets with Chris Paul? Perhaps T-Wolves with Jimmy Butler? Who do you feel is taking the biggest risk with no guarantee of that particular player or star signing with the team?
Well, Jimmy has another year, so he's not really a threat for a while. Plus, he's very close with Tom Thibodeau, and I think Jimmy's there. I think he's there long term. I'm not worried about Chris Paul. I really feel like while you can't agree to things ahead of time, I think they've all but agreed to things ahead of time that he'll get a 5-year deal next year. Come hell or high water, he'll get his money. We'll see. I don't think he's a flight risk. The big risk is Paul George. And Russell Westbrook sitting on a supermax extension he can sign. If he doesn't sign that, and if that team is struggling, the both of them could walk. Or maybe Russell Westbrook commits, and maybe Paul George doesn't. Or in a perfect world, for Sam Presti, their top guy, their GM, everyone's perfect, everyone fits together, and Paul George takes the most money to stay in a place where he has a chance to win. I think players, first and foremost, they want a chance to win, but then they also want to get paid the most money. They want to be the star. They want to live where they want to live. They want to play with who they want to play with. And I think Oklahoma City checks off some of those boxes for Paul George, but not all of them. And it's going to take a really strong season for that team and a strong postseason. They may have a good season, win 55 games, even 60 games, and then get to the postseason and lose in the first round. And then suddenly it's a whole different thing. The whole season is different. So we'll have to wait and see. I think Chris Paul's sticking. Jimmy Butler, I'm not worried about. Some of the other one-year rentals around the league, I think Paul George is the riskiest one, but equally, they could have lost Russell Westbrook anyway because if they didn't get him help, he would have left. So it's a risk they flat out had to take.
Well, Eric, plus they didn't give up as much as everybody thought you were going to have to give up to get Seriously. Paul George. So, I mean, if they figure out he's not staying, they could conceivably trade him before the trade deadline and maybe get more in return than they gave up in the first place to get him out of Indiana. So I'm with you. I think Sam Presti made a genius move because he's got to try and save a small market franchise that if they lose Westbrook, they probably could be looking at a big rebuild. Question for you is with the getting back to Carmelo for just one quick second again, but now they're talking about buyout, which would be ideal for the Rockets. If they don't, and as you mentioned, if the Rockets have to give up both Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson or even one of them, you have no bench and it really kind of depletes any depth that you have. And Carmelo he's waived his trade clause for two different teams. If he does indeed get a buyout, Is it a lock he's going to Houston? A lot of people say, look, he's tight with Chris Paul, but he's tight with LeBron James, too. He could still chase a ring with Cleveland and go that route instead.
Well, let me ask, how many good teams are there in the West? And is he going to get to the finals and pass the Warriors or even pass the Spurs, or who knows how good the Clippers are going to be? You start going down the list, there's a lot of talent in this West. And then even the teams that aren't elite, like the Wolves, no one's going to want to play the Wolves this year because they're going to beat the crap out of you physically. They may or not win the game. I think they'll win a lot. But I look at the East, and you've got LeBron, who he can help win. And you've got maybe the Wizards and the Raptors and the Celtics. The Celtics are probably number two, mm-hmm. threatening to be number one. There's a few other teams, you know, Charlotte, Milwaukee. We'll see what Miami does. But the East is a lot softer. And so to me, if I'm Carmelo Anthony, and if you can make it work, you know, go to Cleveland. It's a faster path to the finals. In the West, yeah, maybe they beat the Warriors, maybe they don't. But who's going to beat the Cavs in the East other than the Celtics? And I think if you put Melo on there, I think he thinks, whether it's true or not, that they're going to beat the Celtics.
Is it unrealistic to think that aside from the Lakers, which everybody assumes is Paul George's future destination, that the Clippers could play into this thing too now with Chris Paul leaving, with the fact that, you know, it's Blake Griffin's team, but that, you know, with Jerry West involved, they're trying to do some different things. It seems like, and I've heard this, I don't know if you can verify this, but that George growing up was actually a Clippers fan, and maybe people are sleeping on the fact the Clippers could get into this Paul George sweepstakes as well.
Well, that depends a little bit on DeAndre Jordan, who can opt out of his contract. They're going to be invested in Danilo Gallinari now. They're making a deal for him. They've got Blake Griffin's money on the books. They did move off of Jamal Crawford, so there's other pieces like Wesley Johnson, maybe even Austin Rivers, who's the boss's kid, that they might have to get out of to have that kind of money. It's not impossible, and I'm still waiting for the final figures to come in after all these moves, but it doesn't. I feel like it's certainly possible. You make a case, say Blake Griffin, and gosh, just doesn't feel like he goes to LA to play with the Clippers with Blake Griffin and Danilo Gallinari. I don't see that. I mean, as far as three forwards and who else? But you look at the Lakers, and if they have the cap space, which they're Rob Pelinka, their GM, called mm-hmm. sacred, and he's a very religious man, so that's a significant term for him. You're talking about potentially having the room for LeBron James and Paul George, or Paul George and someone else, Russell Westbrook or whoever. That's significant, and you get to be on the Lakers because even in this stretch where the Clippers have been the best they've ever been and the Lakers have been the worst they've ever been, it's still about a 8-1, 10-1 ratio of hits on websites, listeners on radio shows, fans, etc. The Clippers sell out their building every night, but there's not a lot of Clipper fans by and large in Los Angeles compared to Lakers. And yet, nationally and then internationally, it's a whole nother thing.
That's good stuff. Eric, we really appreciate the time. If anybody and anybody that's a basketball fan isn't following Eric Pincus, you're missing out. At Eric Pincus on Twitter, and follow the basketballinsiders.com website as well. Eric, thanks for spending some time with us. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Enjoyed it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Eric Pincus right there with a little NBA knowledge. A good get, Nick. And we will continue with much more of the usual suspects in just a minute right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So in case you were having too much fun this last holiday, which was on a weekday, which was odd, but if you were enjoying your fourth, and you didn't see amongst the NBA news, the Clippers, Nuggets, and Hawks are doing a three-way deal in which Danilo Gallinari goes to the Clippers, Paul Millsap goes to the Nuggets, and Jamal Crawford goes to the Hawks. Crawford has already said he wants a buyout. He wants out. Rockets fans were clamoring to get him to sign on. It looks like he said he wants to play for the Lakers, which would probably be a one-year deal because after having Eric on, you know that the Lakers are going to try and have enough money to try and get LeBron and another max player. Otto Porter, the wing player, the young wing player for the Washington Wizards, after getting a max offer from the Kings, which he shunned, which now they don't have the money to offer again because the Kings signed George Hill and Zach Randolph this weekend, or yesterday. They now have seen Otto Porter get a max offer from the Brooklyn Nets, which the Wizards have 48 hours to match, and they said they will. Need I remind you that they already have the youngest and one of the highest paid backcourts in all of the NBA, led by Bradley Beal and John Wall. And now they're going to have to pay Otto Porter, and I'm not sure Otto Porter is worth a max deal, but that is what this new cap is doing to teams. J.J. Redick, 1 year and $23 million. It's simply because they have to get to a minimum threshold. Every team does, and they have to spend the money. So there's going to be short-term deals worth a lot of money for players that can cash in. And as Redick said in his tweet, trust the process, that may or may not be directed to the Sixers and their whole trust the process campaign. And it might be trust the process that for 1 year I'm going to soak up $23 million, and then I'll go play for a winner after that.
Yeah. And really, it's kind of a risk for Washington as well, because they still have to sign John Wall. And a lot of, you know, I think his value, Otto Porter's value goes down when John Wall is not signed. If they re-sign him for that $104 million contract, which everybody on the internet seems to be, like, everybody that's following seems to think that they will, it's going to really hurt their cap. So it's really a leverage. It's an obvious and smart move by Otto Porter to make, to get the offer sheet.
You're never going to get that offer again.
No.
I don't think. I mean, as young as he is, I don't think he's going to ever maximize his potential to become a max player otherwise, so you got to soak it up. And look, I'm not mad at J.J. Redick either. 1 year, $23 million, if we were offered that opportunity, I'm pretty sure we'd all soak it up too.
Oh, yeah. But if you're John Wall, do you believe in that process right now? And do you stay, or do you? I feel like there might be another home for him.
Here's the thing. One, you know that in the East, you're going to be a top four team because it is so depleted, as Eric mentioned in his interview, and we've said all along, the West is loaded. You do have one of the best young backcourts in the game, but you're not a super team. And if you do indeed match and sign Otto Porter, you're not going to be a super team because you do have a super backcourt, but it still doesn't put you in the ball game when you're talking about Cleveland, when you're talking about Golden State, maybe even if you're talking about Toronto, who re-upped with Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, they have DeMar DeRozan, they got a pretty nice young team. So I don't know. I mean, you're going to be relevant, but will you ever be good enough?
I think that's
the question,
right? And I think with that addition, like in the event that they do actually sign Otto Porter and the Wizards do match, I mean, I still think the team that's going to be competing, and I think Woj kind of, you know, with his Woj bomb, kind of worded it pretty perfectly, with the way the Boston Celtics roster sits right now, they'll be competing for an Eastern Conference Finals, and that's about it. I think Boston's in a better situation than Washington right now.
And I'm not impressed by Boston. So if in case you missed it, you're under a rock as well. Gordon Hayward, who had to choose between the Heat, the Celtics, and his former team, the Utah Jazz. And of course, because of the fact that in this day and age of social media, you cannot trump your guys. The rumors came out that he had agreed to a deal to leave Utah, go to Boston. And whether it be him or his agent or somebody, they had a deal to be authors of a letter in the Players Tribune to announce where he was going. And because the word got out and they got trumped, they suddenly went into hiding and said, oh, we haven't made a decision yet. A lot of people believe that was simply just to cover their own butts to make sure that they got the breaking news to the right people.
Right.
And then Gordon Hayward penned a letter that said, Utah fans, I love you, thank you, but I'm heading to Boston. So with two of the whitest cities in the NBA to choose from, Salt Lake loses the Great White Hope so that Boston can add another one in Gordon Hayward. Now, the reason why I mentioned that they are offering him a max deal, they don't have max money right now. So it's going to be interesting because he agreed to a 4-year, $127 million max contract. That means the Celtics now have a series of moves they have to make in order to create enough cap space to make that 127. That means they immediately have to pull their qualifying offer to Kelly Olynyk, who's a nice big man, versatile, and that means he becomes an unrestricted free agent immediately. They then have to renounce free agents Jonas Jerebko, James Young, who's a good young player who came out early from Kentucky, who they drafted in the first round a few years ago, Gerald Green, the Houston product, and then waived the contracts of Jordan Mickey and Demetrius Jackson. They also are going to have to trade one of these three players, Jay Crowder, Terry Rozier, or Marcus Smart. If they trade Rozier, they'll come all but $1 million short of that max slot that they're offering Hayward. So they're not done by any means, and they're going to leave some players out there for other teams to try and swoop in on, most notably Olynyk, who had a really nice playoff run for them, is a versatile stretch big man who can add to some teams out there, even i.e. the Rockets, when they start trying to put together a bench. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But your guys' thoughts on the Celtics, who I didn't think, when you're trying to create a big three, I've never thought until this year Isaiah Thomas was even a superstar. But then you look at Al Horford, in money only do I think he's a superstar. And Gordon Hayward adding to that mix, good player, not sure he's going to put them over the top.
The good thing that they got going for, you know, the good thing that Danny Ainge has got going for the Boston Celtics is all the draft picks that he has. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. But I think it's Marcus Smart. I think that's the guy that they're probably going to shop around, maybe a Jay Crowder. I think Marcus Smart is a guy that you can, you know, he's got some trade value. He could be an asset in a bunch of other teams in the NBA. That's a guy that you can probably include in a deal and maybe get something closer to a super team.
There's some players there that teams are going to want, whether they're free agents or that Boston has to trade. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But you guys can let us know what you think. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. Call or text or hit us on Twitter. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. Slab riders, big mix, sport, black powder, y'all my partners.